Jason Walker, IRN USA Radio News.
Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
You've been raised as a human being. You are not one of them.
Folks, welcome to the Light of Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network Saturday night, May 22nd, 2010. That was actually a screw up on my end there. What was happening? I was listening to the live Orion stream in my headset off my computer here, and I forgot to turn that off, so that was my fault, and I do apologize. Anyway, we're going to have a special guest tonight named Gilbert Erickson on after the bottom of the hour break. To talk to Gilbert earlier today, he appears to be very, very knowledgeable on the subject of wormwood, and I'm even going to try to get him help get him on John Moore's show. I'm going to play this soundbite here quick, and then we'll get on with the show. I'm going to read maybe two articles. By the way, for anybody out there that listens to Dr. Rebecca Carley's show, I posted her interview with Jeff Renz onto her archives subpage on my website earlier today, and that's posted in high quality if anybody would like to go listen to it. Dr. Carley is a medical whistleblower that truly knows what's going on with the this medical mafia cartel, if you will. Anyway, I'm going to play my soundbite here if I can get it to come up. So stay tuned, folks.
Very strange activity happening all at once, and I can't remember a time in which I've seen this many earthquakes in a single amount of time. Just very, very strange.
The world is plagued with this complete and utter ignorance as to the reason why the Earth is now undergoing increasing disastrous events. Because of this ignorance, people are unprepared, and we have to enlighten them rapidly. So we're so near disaster, and we have to get people to believe it so that they prepare themselves and not just push it aside. Okay, this article, as I'm reading it, photocopied it from the New York Times, Sunday, January 30th, 1983. And the title of the article is Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X by John Noble Wilford. Something out there beyond the farthest reaches of known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some gravitational force keeps perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits. The force suggests a presence far away and unseen, a large object that may be the long-sought planet X.
Sheldon mentioned this telescope they're putting up in the South Pole. What do you suppose they're looking for?
Well, they're looking for the 10th planet. It's not that they're looking for it, they're tracking it.
They're tracking it, okay.
Because they found it in 1979 with the Pioneer 10 space probe. Something that's important, which is basically going to be the end of civilization as we know it. They're doing a lot of things. And the 10th planet travels with a debris field about a quarter million miles wide on either side of a debris field of small rocks and big rocks that there's a good chance some of them could be hitting us. Well, the 10th planet won't hit us. The cyclical thing we go
through will flood miles inland in the continental United States, Canada, possibly elsewhere around the world. We're talking a flood of biblical proportions. Government agencies are aware of this. They've shared this with certain personnel. The U.S. Navy has apparently shared this with their service people. And there are apparently safe havens. The U.S. Government has been very busy constructing huge underground bases, if you will, in order to preserve government operations to some degree. Okay, Lewis mentioned Downsview and the base up there. Now, I don't know if you know what's going on up here in Canada. Can we extrapolate or infer that this is being handled the same way up here? They're building underground bases for a continuity of government type scenario?
Well, of course, things happen. You know, building the Denver airport and spending all that money. I mean, they're still working on that Denver airport 17 years later. And it typically takes about 2 years to build an airport, and they're still working on it.
Well, actually, about four months ago, our U.S. government, NASA, it's in the Chandra X-ray Observatory satellite. Chandra, spelled C-H-A-N-D-R-A. X-ray observatory satellite did actually sight Planet X, and the disinformation that they put out, they did actually report that they saw this huge comet, but they were not able to identify it. That's the falsehood right there. But the fact that they did notice a huge comet, I guess it was impossible to cover it up. So they actually made this report, but the report was somewhere, buried somewhere in the news. Marshall Masters, the former science editor for CNN, Cable News Network, has done a lot of research on Planet X, and he has mentioned that he had reported that someone had put on the internet actual footage, film footage or photographs of Planet X that was taken by the South Pole telescope. This is a secret telescope. It's not been revealed to the public. They spent millions of dollars to construct this South Pole telescope in 2007. And January of 2008, there was someone who was probably either a friend or acquaintance or one of the astronomers themselves at the South Pole Observatory who put this visual information, this photographic evidence of Planet X on YouTube. Okay, within one day, the photographic evidence of Planet X taken from the South Pole telescope was taken down.
There's a rumor, and I have not gotten the evidence yet, a rumor that the Vatican will relocate from Rome to St. Louis, Missouri, by the way.
There seems to be some serious observation going on in the Southern Hemisphere and leaks coming out all over the place. It does appear that groups of military and professional astronomers are openly active, let's say, at the Wormwood location in Australia. Well, of course, that's what I've been saying all along. The indicators were all there. And now there are reports that a mini solar system is coming into ours. There's no time frame.
In the early 1980s, and I've known about this for a little while, the Washington Post reported on this, But you found a lot of our reports, in addition to the Washington Post report and a few others, about this potential 10th planet or some sort of mystery object.
December 81, Astronomy Magazine launched a article called Search for the 10th Planet, where they, you know, scientists since the, 1800s, early 1800s, actually, have known of a body out there that caused a wobble in the orbit of Uranus and Neptune. They were always aware that there was something out there since the early 1800s. They started looking for it, and back in December 81, they ran an article in Astronomy Magazine called Search for the 10th Planet. Basically, they were talking about, you know, the science behind why there would be another planet out there. And then it wasn't long after that 1982 New York Times, a story called Some Kind of Mystery Object is Really There. Newsweek ran a story that same month about the sun having a dark star companion, like a brown dwarf. The majority of stars out there are either in binary or trinary systems where they're orbiting other stars. So that would make us the exception to try and stay at a conjecture of what it is, because it really doesn't matter what it is. I mean, whatever it is, it causes a lot of damage. Water events causes issues.
You see, when Charles F. Richter developed the Richter scale, he died around 1984. The powers that be knew what would be happening 25 years in the future, which is right now, which was more earthquakes and more severe earthquakes. And they wanted to keep people asleep, so they did that one full number downgrade, which is 1,000%.
Is when you see the power elite going underground. In fact, you know it already, because we have absolute proof from Governor Jesse Ventura, his television program on True TV titled Apocalypse 2012, in which he went underground to Cheyenne Mountain underneath and around the Denver, Colorado airport, and showed scenes of this underground city, and spoke with Chief of Security Colonel Wynn, who told us that when these huge, massive doors, steel doors, are closed shut, nobody's going to be able to come in. Indisputable when Jesse Ventura went underground and viewed all of this. So we know the power leader going underground. They can't be underground hiding while they're creating earthquakes. The worst place to be when an earthquake occurs is underground. So they're not going to kill themselves. You'll see massive earthquakes, but the reason they're going underground, I know it doesn't make sense from an earthquake point of view, but the reason they're going underground is because of the solar scorching that will occur probably first, concurrently with the earthquakes. They have no choice. When the earth begins to burn, they've got to get underground at least for a period of time.
Yeah, the Denver airport, you know, they built this high-tech roof out of this Kevlar-like material, and also it's built on these gigantic metal poles, okay, which I would tend to think possibly that could be used to thwart coronal mass ejections, or EMPs, basically, so that it's all grounded out. In order to stop an EMP, you have to ground it out. And they built that airport with the Kevlar roof that's attached to these gigantic lifting lightning rods.
In the 90s, I was told about this stuff from a female Air Force officer. She's a weather officer. She's stationed with the headquarters, U.S. Space Command, Peterson Air Force Base, Colorado Springs, Colorado. She worked for the Global Space Operations Division, the Weather Operations Branch. And she says, well, just promise don't tell anybody, but it's classified. She saw a world map and United States map. She said the coasts were like 15, 25 miles in. She said the state of Michigan's coasts were pretty much gone. And then by Lake Erie, that was gone. And then she said Florida, Cuba, and Bahama Islands were gone. Aleutian Islands were gone. And the tip of Chile and Argentina, the southern tip.
Once the powers that be found out about this matter we're talking about, the 10th planet, they incorporated this into their centuries-old plans that they've had in place for at least 200 years. They incorporated this into their pre-existing plans to take advantage of it and prepare for it. What they plan on, here's what they plan on, Jimmy. They plan on getting ready for these events, going through them and coming out on the other side with their shiny new world order intact and ready to rule the planet. Those remaining alive, they intend to control every aspect of their life, and that's why the ID cards and possibly microchipping would be taking place, is to have total control over every aspect of our lives.
And of course, and once that happens, then some of the other points you make, the curfews, restrictions on our travel, sales on firearms, ammunition, alcohol, fuel will all be, of course, curtailed.
Well, you know, one of the things that, a lot of people have factored a lot of this into is, do they know something about a comet, asteroid, massive body that's going to be swinging by close? And there's certainly a lot of talk about Planet X for a while there, and then it kind of faded out because, you know, people make predictions and things like that. The point here is that these things have been patterns of events throughout human history. Then it would seem that just like Halley's Comet comes by every 75 years, that if there is a Planet X or Wormwood, that it would be coming by on a regular basis, and great floods throughout history, which are mentioned in every creation story of every single community of indigenous people, folks who have never read the Bible. So obviously there is some memory of this. Our government or governments friendly to the United States control access to every observatory substantially, substantial in size and power enough to be able to see these things that might be coming from a distance.
Well, folks, I'm going to prematurely end the soundbite there. I have a few things I'd like to get covered here before the show kicks in. First, I want to read an email here. This comes from a lady that runs a health food store up in Pennsylvania named Judy Nips. Alert to Gulf States residents. Fishermen are all getting sick working in the Gulf. These fishermen are all becoming very sick. It just isn't the chemicals being dropped by planes onto the oil sludge. It's the benzene, methane, sulfur, and many other deadly chemicals. Now you can understand why FEMA may be mobilizing for evacuation out of certain parts of Florida at this time, and why military units from many states are being summoned to report to duty. Could brains be fried? Question mark. Fishermen's lungs look like victim of three-pack-a-day smoker. There's a video you can watch on this, provided by a Dr. James Wickstrom, who has his own radio show, by the way. This is an update on the Gulf crisis provided to Dr. Wickstrom. Militias nationwide are advising everyone to stock/purchase supplies as to their financial limits. No matter how big or small, there will be a shortage of supplies by the time the impact and mass evacuation starts in Florida and expands to other states and locations. Now, I know this ain't related to Planet X, folks, but it just seems like something I need to be covering on my show. Early reports say that there are thousands of people in Florida already leaving and en route out. They've packed up what they need and hitting the interstates before closures by FEMA are set in place. More to follow as information is received. Please share with those on your email, blah, blah. There's talk about evacuating parts of Florida. The reason is deadly benzene gas that is omitted from the crude oil. Internet chatter is that many military troops from Montana, Georgia, Louisiana, along with the unlimited/unknown number of FEMA troops are currently being mobilized. Talk about relocating all the elderly first. There is talk about relocating all the elderly first, then the masses from Florida and Louisiana. Also talk about Georgia to follow. Said crude oil slick will reach Nova Scotia within a week. People are expected to be leaving Florida en masse before the FEMA vehicles ban private cars, etc., from the roads for the evacuation with FEMA buses. This is just another staged disaster, folks. Hegelian dialectic at work here. Problem, reaction, solution, and somebody's making... we're just about ready to come into the break here. We're only a minute away from our break, and then I'm going to finish up with another article or two that I have here. Pretty interesting, by the way. And then we'll be bringing our special guest, Gilbert Erickson, on, who's been on the Coast to Coast radio show 2 times, by the way. I don't trust that Coast to Coast show, but even like Dr. Carley says, with it, with the disinformation agents out there, you can still get 10% of truth out of them. So you just have to piece this all together and just come up to your own conclusions as to what is really going on here. Please stay tuned, because after the break I have a very special soundbite I want to play. You folks have not heard this one yet. Fox News 2 days ago aired a short segment about these underground shelters out in Mojave, in the Mojave Desert, that are selling like hotcakes. The name of the group selling these are, I think it's called Vivos or Vivos. If I can pull it up here. Yeah, Vivos. V as in Victor, I-V-O-S. And this is an outfit that is apparently selling across the country. So the elite are apparently becoming very concerned about Wormwood's incoming passage, and in their warped sense of mentality, they're trying to get some of this information out to the public. Anyway, there's the break, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Day, coming to you on the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Stay tuned.
Speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to The Light of Day, coming to you on Orion Talk Radio Network. Back to the Fox News segment that aired, it was either yesterday or Thursday morning. You can look it up on the internet. But here's the Fox News segment I'd like to play for you folks.
Neptune. Some gravity.
Oh, I just wait, wrong one here. All right, here we go.
Below the Mojave Desert, a bunker is under construction. This is not your parents' fallout shelter with worries over nuclear attacks, earthquakes, and terrorists. Doomsday digs are popping up around the country, and they are selling like hotcakes. This bunker looks more like a nice hotel away from home, complete with an atrium, a gym. It even serves Sloppy Joes. Robert Vecino is the managing director of the Vivos Group, one company building a new generation of bunkers. Is there a market for this thing, Robert?
Amazingly, there seems to be an international market. We're getting inquiries from all over the world, Russia, China, and, of course, throughout the United States.
It was your brainchild. What gave you the idea?
You know, I don't know where it came from. Back in 1980, I had this gut-wrenching feeling to build shelter for as many as 1,000 people underground, and that had nothing to do with the end of the world 2012 or the so-called popular concerns now. It's just evolved in the last 30 years, and about 2 years ago we launched and took it very seriously, and we're building 20 of these across the United States.
We're looking at some pictures now of the facility actually under construction. You're out in the Mojave Desert, so I guess land costs aren't that severe.
Well, folks, I did want to interject by stating here, yeah, this is something that's only been going on 30 years. According to Phil Schneider, that was murdered back in January of 96, they've been digging these facilities underground since at least the end of World War II, so they've been preparing for this cosmic event for quite a long time. Way back to the video.
Putting an awful lot of infrastructure literally into the ground here.
Yeah, these are about a $10 million facility. And land cost typically is low because we're about 150 miles away from each metro area that we serve. By design, we want to be away from any potential ground zero, you know, nuclear spot.
So what does it cost? I mean, per person, how do you sell them to people?
We're selling it fractionally to make it as affordable as possible. You know, at $10 million divided by 200 people, which is how many people we accommodate, and we're $50,000 per adult, $25,000 per child, and pets are allowed free. So if you got long ears or a big tongue, you get in for free.
And what do you have underground there? I mean, we're looking at sort of an artist's rendition of the facilities, but what do you have? You have food and water and everything else underground?
Yeah, it's everything you can imagine. The planning that went into this was unbelievable. But effectively, it's a turnkey underground cruise ship. There's a hospital, there's a dental clinic, there's a security office, there's even a jail. All sorts of lounges and kitchens and private bedroom suites. So it's going to be a very comfortable environment. We kind of looked at it like a cruise ship and tried to outfit it in the same fashion.
Okay, but who determines when you unlock the door and let people in? I mean, it's not the kind of place they're just going to go spend a weekend away, right? It's not a vacation home. This is for serious use in serious times.
Absolutely. It's the one piece of real estate you hope you never have to use. But if you need it, you better have it readily available. And so it's open 24/7. There's a full-time security staff. And you go whenever you feel the need, whenever you feel that there's an imminent disaster or catastrophe about to happen. We certainly put out an alert if it's a well-known and we got enough advance notice. But so people in their lifetime may go there as many as a dozen times. But it may not be an event that happens this year or next. It could be 25 years from now or 100 years from now. And so it's a generational thing that will be passed down to their children and grandchildren.
Robert Vecino, let's hope it never happens. Let's hope your idea goes unneeded. We'll get some more information on our blog for those who are interested. Robert Vecino from the Vivos Group. Thank you.
There's the soundbite. I was going to bring John DiNardo on here quick to get his quick thoughts about this Fox News piece. We're probably going to bring Gilbert on here at the top of the hour. Time is just flying way too quick like usual. Even doing a two-hour show with these breaks, the time just goes fast.
Well, John, I'd like to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, there was a Fox News report that we saw on YouTube that sort of went through all the details about underground shelters that are being built for their powerful, rich, elite people. These shelters, and it went through describing the elaborate nature of the shelters and how they were decorated and how they were set up for all the modern conveniences, and it just seemed like they were making fun of it, trying to make it seem as if it were a humorous event. And I think the whole purpose behind this is to desensitize people to the fact that people are concerned and are going underground. Many powerful people are going underground, and to get people to take it as a silly, trivial, and a funny situation. And that's what they do with other events that are rather grave. They try to make it seem silly. The same situation occurred with the Hale-Bopp comet that came in. The government was very concerned about this comet causing disasters on planet Earth, as was the Vatican. And I believe the Vatican was in communication with NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. The Vatican was concerned that this incoming comet might be the prophesied comet Wormwood in the Book of Revelation of the Bible. And if, according to James McCanney, he had stated that if planet Earth had been in the other half of its annual revolution around the sun, we would have been very close to Hale-Bopp, and we would have had many natural disasters on Earth. So what the government did, they didn't know how serious it would be. It turned out that our planet was in a fortunate position where we were far enough away in our annual orbit around the sun that there were no great cataclysms that occurred. But the government did not know this. So what they did, they created a public story to make this whole concept of the incoming comet Hale-Bopp seem very silly and ludicrous. What they did was they generated this CIA operation called the Heaven's Gate Cult. Whenever they create a cult, it's designed to make people consider it to be ridiculous or a bunch of crazy people.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Can I just read this article here quick and get your thoughts on it? I don't want to keep you on too long because I'm already past due to have Gilbert on, so I just wanted to read this quick and get your thoughts on this also.
Okay.
This has to do with the rising sea level down in Australia. Anyway, the article is entitled Ocean Floor Down by Australia Rising by 13 Feet Per Day. And I already got a reply from Gilbert on this. He said that this would be a Wormwood signature event. And it says, this is there's a link to the NOAA website on this. This is very more things are happening that really should not be. Are the 2012 events we're waiting for starting already? The NOAA has a tsunami station in event mode activated for station, blah, blah. The tsunami station has been in event mode since the large earthquakes occurred in the area for several days now. This is triggered by the buoys anomalies of water column height above the seafloor. If you do a data search for March 20th to April 13th, you get this. Over 100 meters or 328 feet less distance from buoy to seafloor in 24 days. Now, folks, that's 13 feet per day since the earthquakes. So did you get a chance to see that, John?
Yes, I did. That's extremely disturbing. This is one of the worst catastrophes that I can imagine, because I don't think the records of seafloor depth records ever reflected such a tremendous increase. 13 feet per day is just incredibly great, and it certainly does augur or it certainly does indicate that we're going to be having some kind of strange events happening with the ocean floor, possibly undersea volcanic eruptions, splitting along the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. That is, I remember past recent reports where the Mid-Atlantic Ridge between the continent of Europe and the continent of the Americas has been buckling a little bit. So I think we're going to see some kind of undersea volcanic activity. At the same time, we have the problem that's being aggravated by the release of so much oil under the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. And what that does is, this has been reported by other researchers, what that does is create a void underneath the seabed so that the pressure is changed, there's less pressure, upward pressure, and there's a greater possibility of earthquakes as a result of this this evacuation of oil deposits underneath the seabed. Also, I had noted in a message today that I sent out to a number of concerned people that this is rather close, the Gulf of Mexico is rather close to the Puerto Rico subduction zone. Puerto Rico subduction zone has been, that's an area where two tectonic plates are sort of, one is tucked underneath the other so that you have the edge of two tectonic plates beneath the sea. One beneath the other, and the stresses occur so that there's eventually a snapping action occurs and between the two plates. Now, this evacuation of oil under the seabed could really cause serious problems in the subduction zone area, which has been lately having tremors over the last couple of years. So I'm concerned about that too. It's happening all over the world. All these anomalies, these geological anomalies. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just reply into an email that Lonnie just sent me claiming that, you know, Lonnie up in Canada, he's claiming that Gilbert Erickson also is a shill. He's been telling me about all these people that are shills, and I told him I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt until I see some red flags, because I'm not really seeing any with Gilbert.
No, really. I mean, you shouldn't let somebody who a listener who might himself be a shill, you should not let him disrupt your program. Take the information that's given by myself, Gilbert Erickson, Jason Rand, other guests, and analyze that information yourself in comparison with what you know.
Yeah, because even with people that you might not be able to trust, you can still get 10% of truth. I mean, 90% of truth out of them, or is it 10%?
Well, I would go even further. I would say that Gilbert Erickson and Jason Rand are sincere people, sincere researchers. From what I know of both of them, they are simply trying to save lives.
That's the impression I'm getting.
Look, if they know so much about what's going on, would you imagine that they would be trying to make money from the government, doing government dirty work, when they realize, as a result of their extensive research, that hundreds of millions of people are going to die, possibly themselves? Why would they care about being government disinformation agents and helping to allow the death of so many hundreds of millions of people due to public ignorance? Would they participate in that? Would they be party to that kind of a genocide, which is exactly what it is? It's the greatest case of genocide that you can imagine, where the government fails to tell the people, and as a result, literally billions, not as Marshall Masters correctly stated, the death count will not be in the millions, but will be in the billions. Who would do such a thing, especially somebody who knows and has taken the time to study the subject and make it such a complex part of their life? I don't believe they would be shills. I think this guy Lonnie himself is trying to disrupt what the information that you're trying to disseminate.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, it's really hard to trust anybody when you're into a topic like this. Hey, I'll keep you on to the top of the hour, John. I wanted to get your thoughts on this, too. I was a guest, as you know, on Bill Alex's Progressive Technology Hour show this morning. And here I find out that his sidekick, Michael Elejon, comes on and pretty much hogs up the show. And he brings in all this channeled information from the Ashtar Alien Command about this higher energy density we're going into, and, you know, just bringing up the topic of MUFON and ETs and all that, I just think that there's something suspicious there, where they got to mix this alien stuff in with Planet X to try to discredit me or something. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know. I think I just get the impression that they are sincere in these people who do believe in UFOs and the alien invasion. They're sincere in what they believe. There is an invasion, but it's, I don't want to sound like, it's not, certainly not aliens. This is a spiritual thing. And again, I'm risking being labeled as some kind of a disinformation agent myself by simply bringing up the fact that we have spirits, fallen angels, and I can show you testimony and evidence as to the existence of these spirits who are actually invading this country, this world, in minds of people, and trying to, and I guess their essential purpose is to get them, to drag them away from believing in God, from turning to God, because God is the only one who could save us in this great catastrophe with the earth, where the earth is going to undergo absolute destruction, devastation. There is nothing that any man can do. No government, no power can do anything to stop this. And again, the deaths will be in the hundreds of millions, the billions actually. there's going to be, and we know from past history, that this is going to occur because the historians of Egypt wrote about it. The ones who survived wrote in meticulous detail the events that occurred. And I'm going to recommend to you Greg Jenner, J-E-N-N-E-R, as a possible future guest for your program. He wrote the book Planet X and the Colbrin Bible Connection.
I'll keep that in mind, John. I'd like to go back to what you said there, that you think these people in the UFO research community are being used. And, yeah, you know, you listen to Billy Alec and Michael Alajon, they do really sound like sincere people. I think you're right. I think these people are being used, and it's possibly like a CIA mind control operation. I know Bill Cooper himself admitted that he may have been used to spread disinformation about the UFO stuff. And, you know, me and you know Bill Cooper was a very sincere man.
He was. Well, you can tell he was sincere because the government had him. But you know, these people are sincere. And what it is, it's a spiritual. I mean, when you talk about angels, how many people would believe that angels really exist? These are spirits sent. The good angels, the loyal angels, are spirits sent by God. Many people have testified that their lives were saved by angels, and they actually, some of them appear as human beings. I can cite several people I've spoken with. In fact, even myself, I should have been killed in an auto accident a long time ago on a New Jersey turnpike. It was just a miracle, beyond a miracle, that I escaped without any injury at all. Now that I look back, I realize I was an atheist at the time. And in fact, I even had this disdain for God.
John, can you talk any louder? God.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
He's not loud
enough. So anyway, I believe that there are angels that are protecting us, and there are fallen angels that are destructive. Whose purpose it is to turn our minds against God, because what really will save everyone, anyone, in this coming catastrophe is only trust in God. And that God, because of his infinite power, can save the lives of people who call out to him for help. That's all I have to say. And then these people who believe in the aliens. These aliens are really fallen angels, and their purpose is going to be to deceive everyone. Right now we see a great push by the government to get people to worship satanically, to have belief in a satanic being. I won't go too much more into detail on that. I mean, people have to really study it themselves before they can believe it. I don't think I anybody in a short period of time. Probably the best, what's going to happen is a lot of people are going to think, I'm a little bit untrustworthy just by continuing on this particular point of view. So I'd like to get, if you have a little bit more time, I'd like to get back to Planet X and what's happening with the Earth changes. It seems like it's accelerating. The earthquake activity is accelerating. What I want to do is give you, your people and your listeners, hope, not despair. Because when we talk about these disasters that no one can avoid, no one can stop at all, not even the greatest powers of this earth, we tend to get depressed. Well, there's preparations that we can make right now. You're going to see water shortages. You're going to see food shortages. I would recommend that people store tap water. Get as many plastic bottles as they can get. Store as much tap water as they can. Also, buy a lot of sardines and salmon, canned sardines, canned salmon, because just think about it. What's going to happen to the sea life. You won't be able to buy fish probably in a month or so, because the entire world will be polluted. The oceans of the world will be polluted with oil from this tremendous oil discharge coming from the Gulf of Mexico. So I foresee the time when there will be no seafood available at all, and probably be in a few months when these waters pollution spreads through the, throughout the oceans of the world. So stock up now when you can. That's one, you know, one idea. Try to think of all the things that you would need to sustain yourself, just the basic things. Dried lentils can be sprouted in a jar. You won't have to, you won't be able to have an outdoor garden because people are going to be hungry and they'll be stripping your outdoor garden. So you'll have to be sprouting indoors. You can live on sprouts practically. Lentils and other grains mixed together can, you can survive on that. So this is the kind of informative hope that I'd like to give to people.
Hey, John. You there now?
Yes.
Yeah, I really wanted to thank you for coming on. We're going to have Gilbert on now for a whole hour, and hopefully you'll be tuned in listening to it.
I will be. Thank you.
Thank you, John, and we'll more than likely have you back next week for a few minutes if possible.
Okay, thanks, Sheldon. I appreciate your inviting me.
Thanks, John. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, that was John DiNardo calling from Tewaka, New Jersey, where I called him. Anyway, we're coming in the break. We'll be joined after the top of the hour news break with our special guest, Gilbert Erickson, who I believe to be a credible wormwood researcher. Stay tuned.